Notice Genesis. We're going to go into this quickly. I know we're a little behind, but it was good. It was encouraging already just to be in the service. I hope you've been encouraged already to be here. We're going to go on here. Genesis chapter 19, verse 1. Notice the Bible says, "And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet. And ye shall rise up early, and go on your ways. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for there came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, Stand back. And they said again, This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now we will deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand, and pulled Lot into the house to them, and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and gray, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides, son-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out in this of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up you, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But it seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth, and set him without the city. I want to consider here this passage, and this is a second part from last week's message. We learned several things last week, if you would, when the Lord comes and he communes with Abraham. If you remember, that was an opportunity God was trying to reveal himself to Abraham. They didn't have the written word back then, and so how God revealed himself to man was by vision. We see that in the Word of God. We see that he revealed himself by meeting with them and communing with them. And at the end of chapter 18, the Bible says, And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left, communing with Abraham. And so in that communion, and what is communion? When God speaks to us, we learn from God. We learn to know who God is. And we talked about four things that Abraham learned as God communed with him. Abraham learned about the judgment and the justice of God. Abraham learned of the devastation of wicked people. Abraham learned also the value of the righteous. How God said that he would spare the whole city if there were 10 righteous in the city. And we also saw that Abraham learned of God's mercifulness. It had been many years that Sodom had lived in a wicked state. And throughout all these years, God had been merciful, and that is a pattern in Scripture. If you remember in the days of Noah, when the Bible says every imagination of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually, the Bible says that God would strive with man for 120 years. And so Noah would preach for 120 years. He was a preacher of righteousness according to the Bible. And for 120 years, God gave the opportunity for the world to repent, and they did not. And that illustrates for us and speaks to us of the mercifulness of God. You never find a place in the Word of God where God judges a city or a nation as soon as they sin. There's always a delay, and many times it is hundreds of years that God gives an opportunity to repent. And so Sodom had been given this opportunity. But now we come to the place where we know that the angels had left Abraham and the Lord, and they had gone down to Sodom, and Abraham was speaking to the Lord, and so they had been separated, and so now the Lord has gone, he's left. Only the two angels now are recorded for us in the city of Sodom, and we find for us here some interesting things happening. Now, it is important to understand that in this passage here, God is dealing with the wicked city, and this is, as we see the expression in our passage, it was before the face of the Lord. Everything that takes place in this world is before the face of the Lord. He knows everything. He sees everything. He knows every behavior. He sees the politicians. And by the way, he will hold them accountable for their position of authority. And all things that are going on are being done before the face of the Lord. And so I want us to work through this passage, and I'm going to try to speak fast. And so you listen fast, and we'll get through this very quickly and go through this passage and learn some important things here. And it's important as we study the Word of God, this is God revealing Himself to us. God wants us to know who He is. He wants us to know how He deals with man and how He interacts with man. And so this is what we see in this passage. But I want us to see here, because in this passage we learn truly how wicked this city was and the people of the city, and how far and how deep the sin had been and had gone on in the city of Sodom. And so first of all, in this passage we see the coming of the judgment. These two angels are representative of this. They're representative of the judgment of God. The fact is, God knew how many righteous were in the city, and He knew there weren't 10. Now, if you calculate, you'd find that maybe Lot, if he had his right two daughters at home, he had two sons-in-laws, that means that was another four, and he speaks of sons, plural, so that would be at least 10. But we understand that there weren't 10 righteous here. And now as we approach this passage here, those angels come and they give a message. They bring a message that they are going to destroy the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. And so in this coming judgment, they come here to Lot. And notice as we begin in verse 1, in the coming of the judgment, we see first of all, Lot's authority. The Bible tells us, and there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And so as we come to this place, we understand historically speaking that much of the business and the political business of a city took place at the gate. That would be where the people would come if they had an issue, for example, with another person in the city. They would go to the gate, and that is where many times the business would take. That is where trade would take place. A lot of the laws would be talked about and spoken of in the gate. And so Lot, being at the gate, speaks to us, and we understand that Lot held a position of authority. Now that's important to consider, because if you remember, there's a pattern in the Word of God. When Abraham separated from Lot, Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. And then a little later, we find him dwelling in Sodom. And then now, he was not only dwelling in Sodom, but now he is in a position of authority in a wicked city. And we have to be aware of this, that for Lot to be able to have gotten to a place of authority, he would have to have been fine with the sin that was going on in the city. Because he would have never been elected to a place of authority if he did not at least condone the sin that was going on. And so when we find Lot, that is the place, we see Lot's authority, but number two, we see Lot's acknowledgement. The Bible tells us, and Lot seeing them, he sees the two angels, he rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And so Lot, just like Abraham, he knew who these angels were. He bowed himself to the ground. He recognized that these angels were sent from God. There was something divine about these men that were coming, and so Lot recognized that just as, and by the way, his reaction is the same as Abraham's reaction. If you remember the previous chapter, when the men came, Abraham saw them afar off, he ran to meet them, and then he bowed himself toward the ground. That is the exact same expression here that Lot does, but there's something different. Because we're going to find that in the previous chapter, we saw that Abraham was ready to hear from God. His heart was ready. But Lot, we're going to find, is not ready to hear from the Lord. As a matter of fact, we're going to find that when judgment is pronounced and it's time for him to leave, he delays. He hangs around, and the angels have to take him by force out of the city.
And so we understand here Lot's acknowledgement. He recognized who these men were. He recognized that they were sent from the Lord, and so he bows himself towards the ground. We see his authority, his acknowledgement, but thirdly, we see his awareness. Notice in verse number 2 what the Bible says. And he said, "Behold now, my lords, turn, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go your ways." Do you see what Lot did? He says, all right. He meets them right at the gate. Says, "Oh, come on, come to my house. I'm going to take care of you. Stay with me all night. And then tomorrow morning you can leave. Leave from the city. Go do what you need to be doing." You see what he did? He knew what was going on. He was trying to cause these angels not to see the condition of the city of Sodom. He knew how wicked it was, and so he does what often many people do when they're confronted by the Lord speaking to them. They acknowledge that, they're aware of that. We see here that they try to, if you would, to try to belittle that. They try to skirt away from it. And the Bible says in verse 3, "And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast." So you see, he pressed them greatly. They said, "No, we're going to stay on the street all night." And Lot says, "Oh, no, no, you can't do that." "No, no, no." And he pressed them greatly. Why? Because Lot knew the kind of city he was in. And so we see the coming judgment. But secondly, we see the confirming of the wickedness. So the next here, from verse number 4 through verse number 11, we see how wicked the city was. The Bible says in verse 4, notice, "But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter." I want us to look here from verse 4 down to verse number 11. We see here, you remember the Lord said he would come and he would look to see if the city was indeed wicked before his eyes. We're going to find just how depraved those people were. We're going to find truly how wicked and how deep entrenched this sin was in the city of Sodom. And so notice we see the confirming of the wickedness. First of all, we see the extent of this wickedness. The Bible tells us in verse number 4 that the men of the city, verse 4, says, "Even the men of Sodom," notice, "they compassed the house round," notice, "both old and young, all the people," notice, "from every quarter." So when we're talking about the city of Sodom, and we're talking about the sin of Sodom, and that is primarily homosexual behavior, when we're talking about the extent of the sin, the Bible says that those that surrounded the house of Sodom were old and they were young. And they came from every quarter of the city. Every quarter of that city was entrenched in the sin of sodomy. And they come all and they surround this house. And so we see here that this is not just a limited few that are part of this city that are involved in this behavior. This is a multitude of men, and they're old and they're young, and they come from every part of the city. Do you see? Can you imagine, you know, when you have a buzz that are going around in the city? You have, for example, Philadelphia. They were the Super Bowl champions a few years ago. There's a buzz around the city, right? We're the champions, yeah, the Eagles. And that was a buzz around the city. But can you imagine those angels come in the city, and now there's a buzz? You see these men, young and old, from every quarter. The word travels around. There are two strangers that have come into the city. We need to find out who they are. The buzz was, "We want to know these men." And they wanted to do wicked things with these men. And so we see the extent of the wickedness, but number 2, we see the example of the wickedness. The Bible says in verse 5, "And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came in unto to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them." Now notice here, this is not the men of Sodom trying to say, "Well, we want to befriend them." That's not what he's talking about. This is the same expression that is found in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, when Adam knew Eve, his wife. In other words, they procreated to have children. That is what he's speaking of. He is speaking of an intimate relationship. And so I'm not going to go into detail and speak at great length, but that is the example of the wickedness that is going on in the city here. They say, "Bring them out that we may know them." They wanted to commit vile acts, things that are against what is natural to man, with these men. Think about how that consumed the city. That's all of those men, young and old, from every quarter thought about as those two new men came. Here, there's fresh meat for us. There's something, there's some new people we can get inside. That's the example of the wickedness. They came to Lot and they surrounded the house. Why did they surround the house? They didn't want them to escape. See, this was not something that there would be two willing parties. This would be something that would be forced. So we see the extent of the wickedness, the example of the wickedness, but thirdly, we see the embrace of the wickedness. Notice how Lot responds to them in verse 6, and Lot went out of the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren. And I want to stop and say, excuse me? Lot, do you remember who you are? The Bible tells us in the New Testament that the soul of just Lot was vexed with the filthy conversation of the day. And so we know that Lot knew what was righteous. He knew what was right. But here we understand that Lot, to have been in a position of authority, and now for these men to come to him and to call them brethren, he was basically condoning, and he had condoned, their behavior and their sin. Here, he says, do not sow wickedly. And so we say, see, he condemned their sin. No, he did not condemn their sin. Later, we see he offered these two daughters. That's not condemning the sin. And so we see here, he embraced the wickedness. And can I say, the problem today in our society, and I know that the world will do what the world does, but the problem today is there are those that are part of Christendom, there are those that say they belong to churches, that will look at those types of behavior, those types of lifestyle. We talked about on a Wednesday about abortion and homosexuality and all those things, and they will embrace those things. They will promote this thing. They will form a church coalition to promote those things in the house of God. That's the embrace of wickedness, and it's going on today, not by the world, it's going on today in the Christian circles of those who embrace and who call those people brethren. While God came to judge them. We also see not only the extent of the wickedness, the example, the embrace, but fourthly, we see the engrossing of the wickedness. In verse number 8, the Bible says, behold, now I have, Lot says, I have two daughters which have not known man. That means they were virgin. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for there came under the shadow of my roof. So see, the reason why he doesn't want to send those men out is because he's just hospitable toward them, and so he doesn't want to they came under it. So he's responsible for them. He's not saying anything about condemning their behavior. He's actually offering his daughters. That's the engrossing of wickedness. You see, the reason why Lot, do you remember the behavior? He went outside, he shut the door behind him as if the angels could not hear. He tried to hide this conversation. You remember he tried to press those angels not to stay outside all night. He brought them in. He tried to hide the wickedness from them. But here he is confronted with a predicament. What choice does he make? What direction does he go? And so he's trying to still embrace those people, and at the same time he's trying to protect his reputation in the sight of God, not knowing that God already knows. And now we see truly how engrossed he was. He's offering his own daughters. And we see how that would come back and destroy his own family. His own daughters would make him a drunk and lie with him later. That's the engrossing of the wickedness, but we also see the effect of wickedness. In verse number 9, the Bible says, and they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came into sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now we will deal worse with thee than with them. So you see what they say. They knew Lot's not from the city. These men, they look at Lot, and now Lot, being in a position of authority, thought he could reason with them. He thought he could kind of bargain with them if you would. And by the way, they refused the offer of the two daughters. They wanted the men. And so here they say, well, you're not even from the city. And we're the ones that have voted you in. We're the ones that have given you a position of authority in this city. You see, we have to understand that when a city and when a nation is engulfed in wickedness, how that affects everything. And how in a moment's notice they will disregard anybody in a position of authority to promote their own agenda, to promote their own wicked behavior. And by the way, that is what's going on today. There's organizations and groups of people. I mean, there's a group of people today that is trying to promote to our government pedophilia. They're trying to legalize it to where someone that is 30 years old can marry a 12-year-old. There's a group out there. And now we say that will never happen. We said the same thing about same-sex marriage. We said that will never happen to our nation. But now even churches have embraced it. Churches have put people that are homosexuals avowed and public with it in position of pastoral authority in churches. You see, the effect of wickedness is the fact is here, this was forced. They will claim, we want to do what we want to do, leave us in our behavior, but they will command everybody else to do what they're not willing to do. And that is exactly what they're doing today. So we see the effect of wickedness, but also lastly, we see the earnestness of wickedness. Something interesting happens in verse 11. The Bible says, and they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. Don't you think that's strange? I think that if I would have been smitten with blindness, I would have turned around and gone home. This is how earnest they were in their sin. They've been smote with blindness, but they're still looking for the door. They're still trying to find these men to do wicked things. And when someone is engulfed in wickedness, they would go at every length to commit their wickedness. They're never satisfied. And anybody that stands in the way or preaches against it or is trying to get in the way of their wickedness, they will do everything that they can to propagate and to promote and to continue in their deviant behavior. And so that's the confirming of the wickedness. Do we see how rampant it was in the city? So we see the coming judgment, the confirming of the wickedness, but thirdly, we see the confusion of the family. The Bible tells us in verse 12, and the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out into this place. And so this is the gracious thing. The angel said, the city is going to be destroyed, obviously, here because we see how far entrenched this wickedness is. We're going to go ahead and tell you, Lot, do you have any family, daughter, son, son-in-law? Just go. This would be the time. This was the same night because the next morning, that's when the destruction happened. So that night, Lot would see, go to your family, find them. And this is how much confusion there was in Lot's family. Verse 13, notice, we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. You see, these angels were sent to destroy the city. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Do you see that expression here? He seemed as one that mocked. In other words, Lot would come into the house, and no doubt perhaps there was a little bit of urgency in the eyes and the voice of Lot as he would tell them. He says, look, the city's going to be destroyed. You need to get out. Come with me to my house. We have the two angels, and they've instructed us. They're going to destroy the city, and so let's get out. And so the Bible says here, it seemed as one that mocked. And so this is their reaction. It's like, that's a good one, Lot. That's a good one. Now, there's no way. That's a good one, you know. In other words, what Lot was communicating to them was totally foreign to them. It was not something that they expected coming from Lot. In other words, speaking righteousness is not what they expected from Lot. The Lord sending destruction upon Sodom is not what they expected from Lot. They had been used to something from Lot that was different than this message. And we must understand as Christians that when we stand silent to the things that are going on, to the wickedness that is permeating our country, to the things that are going on, if our families do not know the truth, if our families are not taught, are not instructed in the Word of God, and are dealt with the morals that are taught by the authority of the Word of God, we understand that that's only going to confuse the family. And here, because Lot has been engulfed, Lot has a position of authority, they're thinking to themselves, what are you talking about, Lot? That's a good one. That's a good one. To them, Lot seemed as a man that just mocked.
And I'm thinking, Lot, you have failed in the greatest responsibility that was ever given to you. Your own family thinks you're a joker. Your own family thinks you're kidding when you speak of the judgment of God. Oh, may our families know when we speak of the things of God and it never be foreign to them. May it be just as natural as our daily conversation to speak of the things of God. And so we see the confusion of the family, but lastly, and we're done, we see the constraint of the righteous. In verse 15 and 16, Lot was instructed to leave, and we saw that it is apparent that his family is not coming with him. And the Bible says in verse 15, when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot. And so, look, the judgment was pronounced, judgment was coming. Lot had left and spoken to his family members about the judgment coming. And the next morning now, the angels have to wake Lot up. The angels have to say, arise, get up. It's time to go. It didn't come from Lot. It would, if you were in that position and you were convinced that the judgment of God was coming, would you wait till the morning? Or would you depart that night? But here, Lot, we find him in the morning. He arose and the angels, they hastened him. You know what that means? They kind of try to push him and help him go, saying, arise, get up, Lot. Stop being lazy. You got to get up. We're your alarm clock. He says, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And so you see, the responsibility is given to Lot. He says, take your wife and take your daughters. So we see the promptness of the angels. The angels pressed upon Lot, and they say, this is your responsibility. Lot, you know the message. You must respond to the message. Take your wife and your daughters. And by the way, the Lord has directed the men of each family to be those who lead in spiritual matters. They didn't ask and say, well, Lot's wife, you take Lot and the daughters. No, Lot, you take your wife and your daughters and you go out of the city. You have a responsibility, Lot. We see also the postponing of Lot. Notice verse 16. And while he lingered. Lingered. Now, sometimes I like to linger when we have fellowship with one another. We had a great fellowship, by the way, on Friday night. We went to the Ryan's home and we just enjoyed each other's company and played some games. And, you know, that's kind of the place where you want to linger. You want to keep that going. But judgment is coming. This city is not a pleasant city to live in. It's not conducive to the family. But you see how Lot, he's been so engulfed in the world, he's been consumed with the things of this world, that he's postponing the departure. He's lingering. He doesn't want to leave. But we see not only the postponing of Lot, but lastly we see the pity of the Lord. The Bible says, the men, speaking of the two men, laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his two daughters. Upon the hand of his wife and his two daughters. And the Lord, notice, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. Has the Lord ever done that to you spiritually? Where you've lingered for a while, where you've perhaps been engulfed in the things of this world, and the Lord's speaking to us and he's trying to say, look, let's go. We have to go this direction. And here, do you see the pity of the Lord? The Bible says the Lord was merciful, and so the angels, they grabbed the hand of Lot. Notice, they grabbed the hand. He didn't grab him around the neck. He didn't grab him by the skirt and drive him out. He didn't do the same with his wife and his daughters. They grabbed his hand and they led him out of the city. Because God was merciful unto the righteous. Now you remember in the conversation with God and Abraham, Abraham just asked the question to God, are you going to kill the righteous with the wicked? And the Lord said he would not destroy the city for 10 righteous sake. But what Abraham did not know was that God intended all along to deliver the righteous out of the city. You see, Abraham only thought the option was to destroy everyone in the city. But here the Lord, being merciful unto Lot, he takes the hand of Lot, even though he is lingering, even though he is content to be where he is, even though he is kind of hesitant, knowing that the judgment of God is coming, the Lord takes him by the hand. And his wife and his daughters, and they bring them out. Isn't it amazing how merciful the Lord is towards us? That even as sometimes it is so easy for us to be engulfed in the things of this world and to forget God, that God will gently come to us and speak to us and lead us back to where we need to be. God will deal with the world. But as he deals with the world, he's trying to take his children by the hand and lead us in places where we ought to be, away from the world. And so we have to detach ourselves. You see, Lot's heart, the Bible tells us in the New Testament, his heart was vexed daily by the things of this world. Over time, he became hardened. And the behavior of homosexuality that permeated the city became nothing to him. The men that were walking around the city and blaspheming the name of God, it became nothing to him. The people who perhaps rose up their voices, if there's a God, he can't stop us. And Lot became cold towards those things. But now the Lord comes along and gets a hold of Lot. And that's what the Lord's doing today. He's trying to get a hold of his people that they would finally see where they are in their relation to the world. And they would separate themselves from the world unto the Lord. And so may the Lord help us. We're going to continue and we'll pause right here. But this was all done before the face of the Lord. You see, before the face of the Lord, God sees the world. He sees what the world's going on. And God will judge the world. He will judge the world. But in the midst of a wicked world, he's working in the midst among his people to try to make them distinct from the world. And so, may the Lord help us. As we'll continue that last week, may the Lord help us to be a distinct people. Not content to be immersed in the world. Brother's testimony was perfect this morning to go along with the message. How easy. And the things of the world are not necessarily bad, you know, sports and things like that, but they can so easily crowd out the Lord that we lose sight of where we need to be as Christians. And so may the Lord help us.